had one girl tell me, like, just do whatever you want and they'll tell you afterwards if I liked it. It's like, absolutely not. What are you talking about? I'm not playing sexual Minesweeper with you.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Sometimes you gotta keep the gangbang group chat honest. I'm in a Telegram group chat for what's kind of become a biannual gangbang. And with this very, very beautiful woman here in New York, and her partner runs the group chat. Well, we don't use it very often, but the other day it pinged with a new message from one of the guys in the group. I don't know this man. I mean, if you show me a picture of him or his penis, I might go, oh yeah, yeah, that guy. And he sent a message that said, any word on another event coming up? I'd love to see everyone again. I said, don't lie to all of us. You're excited to see one person again. The rest of us, you'll just tolerate so long as your balls are in her mouth. Come on now, be real. I just wanted to share that with you. This week on the podcast, we have got on comedian Marty Cunney. He's a boy I know here in New York who's gotten over a couple of big breakups. Maybe I'll learn something. We're talking about getting over breakups. We're talking about some kink. We're talking about, you know, non-monogamy. Do you need it? Do you gotta have it? Could you live without it? This is a fun chat between the boys. This is part of the Billy with the Boys bundle as I seek to create some semblance of male friendships. And I'm excited to share Marty with you all in just a little bit. First, wow, real quick, wow. The Naked Comedy Shows, another double sellout success. One of the best nights I think we've had. Even I crushed it a couple of times. So I'm excited for the next one. February 23rd, look out in your email inboxes for tickets to be on sale. Right now, tickets are on sale February 17th for Impact. Impact is the kinky comedy show we did back in August. All the stand-ups, we're going to tell our jokes while we share the stage with a BDSM scene. It's a very fun time over at Star Bar in Bushwick. February 17th, ticket link in the schnotes or at manwhorepod.com. The Man Whore Podcast did not win an AVN award on Saturday night, but I do want to thank everybody for voting. Some of you were very, very enthusiastic and repetitive with your voting, and I appreciate the efforts. I would like to think, I'm just going to pretend we got a close second place to Plug Talk. So congratulations to Lena and her co-host, and shout out to everyone who nominated me, because I didn't even ask to be nominated. So that was cool in and of itself. Before I get to Marty Cunney, let's do a quick fan whore appreciation moment. This is the part of the show where I like to give a shout out to some of the members of my fan whore community on Patreon. Patreon is the best way you can support me and the work that I'm doing here. And this fella, he signed up for a whole year-long membership and enjoying a little discount with it. Big thank you to Abe, buddy. You know, in addition to your membership fee, any chance you could check my brakes? If I send you a picture of, like, my brake pads, can you just give me, like, your opinion? I'd really appreciate that. Thanks, buddy, for supporting the Man Whore Podcast. I hope you enjoy those bonus episodes all year round. And you, too, can become a member for as little as $2 a month. With thousands of you out there, each of your $2 can go a long way when we put you all together. Become a member today. Support the podcast you love at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. This week's guest, Marty Cunney, he's become a favorite recently at the Naked Comedy Show. Dude is a fucking crusher. So, so funny. I could sense for a few months now, like, this is a guy I want to talk to. Big cat guy. If you watch his Instagram stories, big on the cats. A guy with a dog, that could be anyone. A guy with multiple cats, there's something good about that guy, I think. Let's go talk about love and breakups and choking chicks out with Marty Cunney. Consensually, just if you're new here, settle down. Consensual choking. We talk about it, but we're not crazy. We're not just choking chicks just because. That's psychotic. Now I'm thinking I should title this episode Consensually Choking Chicks with Marty Cunney, but I don't think he would like that very much. I don't know if that would play very well. I'll think of something else. All right, I'll shut my mouth. Got to do a couple ads. I need a little bit of your ad revenue time, pay some bills, and then we're going to chat with Marty.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
How did the date on Friday go?
We went to do karaoke, and it was fun. Karaoke is probably one of my favorite things. And it was a second date. I've taken first dates on karaoke, and I think that might be a little aggressive.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of aggressive first dates. I had a second date do a podcast with me one time. That was a bad idea.
Wait, why? Huh?
Yeah, I you know, this
was it your podcast?
No, it was someone else's. Yeah, it was a bad idea in retrospect. It was fun, but like, actually, you know, I don't think that's, we did go on another date after that. And I think the reason that date didn't go so well is because I was farting the whole time, because we got some like Chinese food or something beforehand. And I just couldn't stop farting the whole way through Mission Impossible 6 okay. or 5, whatever the one was with Henry Cavill.
And she could tell?
I couldn't imagine she couldn't. I mean, it wasn't loud, but it was like, I can smell these.
Wait, but what was how'd the podcast date come about?
So I told her, I was like, hey, we can meet and then like, you know, grab drinks or whatever. But I got a podcast afterwards. And she's like, oh, okay. And at the date, I was like, if you want to tag along for the podcast, you can do the podcast with me. And she thought that I meant like, watch me do the podcast, which is like, that's also kind of a weird date.
Yes.
You know, but she was still long for that. And I was like, when I got there, I was like, I had asked the guy beforehand. I don't know if you, do you know David Cooper?
I don't know.
He does radio stuff. So I was like, I'd message him beforehand being like, oh, I have this date. She's coming along. And he's like, bring her. We'll put her on the thing. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll ask her if she wants to do it. So when I asked, I guess, you know, I wasn't super clear. I was like, hey, you know, you're going to be talking to me the whole time. And it was still kind of fun because he did a good job of like, it was like having some direct your conversation between like two strangers.
Was he like he's conducting the date?
Pretty much.
Okay. That's awkward.
It was, but it was fun because he's funny and like we have a good rapport, me and him. And so like she went on another date with me after that. So either she has terrible judgment or I did a good job.
Or both.
I mean, a little bit A, a little bit of B, never hurt anybody. But yeah, that was what, so I won't do that again. But I'd say every time I've taken it, I think my like success rate for second dates after taking a first date to karaoke or first date to a comedy show is probably 50-50.
Well, I feel like both are terrible. Like comedy show, I think is a terrible first date.
Yes.
I think it's different if are you talking about comedy shows you're on or yes. just like the hang?
Comedy shows I'm on.
I tell like civilians, like a comedy show is a terrible first date because you don't get to be funny. And other people could be funnier than you. Yeah. And like, she might end up wanting to fuck the comic, one of the comics more than you at the end of it.
Yeah. And It's like taking someone to go see a movie where they can drink with the actors afterwards.
Exactly.
It's
that.
It's like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, you're giving them entertainment and then you're giving them the entertainers. Like, but if you're on the show, I was like, oh, well then, you know, it's also like, I'm not doing this to anybody that I really think I have like a future with. It's like, you know, let's just see what happens. If they like it, they like it, whatever. It's a fast track to my sense of humor. Okay. Which sometimes it's like I'm not exactly comfortable getting right into with somebody, you know. Mm. I would say that like first date you get like the sanest version of me, and things get more and more off the rails as things go on, whereas first date comedy show you get to see a little bit off the rails right off the bat.
Well, you know? Second date karaoke on Friday seemed to be going well enough that you were, I had a dropout on the Naked Comedy Show, and I was texting you to see if you wanted to. And she's, you, it was after I'd already filled the spot, but you said, you know, she's game.
To yeah.
Come watch me do naked stand up for a second date.
She, cause our first date, we went well, and she was, I think we kind of, were good about communication. Like we're both on the same page. Like neither of us are looking for anyone to like commit a date right now.
Okay.
And so we kind of knew what the end goal of this second date, third date was going to be. And it's like, well, that's like, that was the kind of line I said to her. I was like, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm down for it. I was like, yeah, I guess the goal is seeing me naked anyways, like might as well watch me get paid for it. So, she was down and it would have been fun, but, unfortunately I didn't,
Well, you were cautious at first. You said, I think that might be too aggressive. I still think naked, watching you do naked comedy is a less aggressive early date than karaoke.
You think watching me, okay. Well, I disagree. Because karaoke is like, it's just, in fact, I think it's, or as a second date, first date karaoke is a little too much because I think it's like, you're putting a lot of pressure on the other person, at least as a guy. If a girl took me karaokeing for the first date, I think it'd be great. That was her suggestion. But as a guy, I mean, like, all right, now you've got to sing something. It's like, well, maybe she's not into that. I don't know her well enough. And so that could be like a weird amount of pressure, at least in my experience with the ones I've taken to people on. But second date is great because it's kind of like, all right, we've gotten all the introduction stuff out of the way. We got like all the conversation about who we are and siblings and blah, blah, blah. And so now let's do something fun.
Okay.
You know, so.
But as far as like doing something fun goes, like karaoke is like asking someone to get so vulnerable in the fun because you kind of have to like not take yourself seriously. You have to really like strip something down.
But I don't really want to be with anyone who's taking themselves that seriously.
Okay.
I mean, or at least my track record with people who do take themselves that seriously is not that great. And it's like, you know, that's fine with me.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Why are you not looking for something serious right now?
So I just moved to New York.
Didn't that breakup happen 7 years ago?
So that was a different one. So okay. I have two breakups. If we're talking about like the major events of my life, is that I had out of college a 6-year relationship that ended, and that's when I started comedy. And then I had a relationship through COVID that was about a 4-year relationship, and that one ended first week of 2022, and so. I had already been kind of thinking about, me and her had been talking about like moving to another city, and you know, I won't get too into that, but basically like I was like, I should still try living somewhere else because like I kind of feel like I'm banging my head against a wall living in the same place I grew up and should just try something else. And you know, New York made the most sense stand-up wise. And so one of the lessons I learned from the two breakups was that like I very much was afraid of being single because I was afraid of being alone and alone with my thoughts, and like I wasn't good at being by myself. And so I kind of like, I was like, this year I'm really focused, like these, I've really been focused on like being okay by myself. So that was kind of like the last like year and a half, 2 years was like, okay, like get my head straight. Worked on like meditation, therapy, journaling, stuff like that, so that I'm a little more comfortable being on my own. And then the second part of like why I still want to stay single, like even after I feel like I'm doing a better job of that, is that I think another problem was that I, you know, with the reason I moved to New York is to try stand up as a career, right? Like this is to see if this will actually work out as something that I can pursue. Like, do I have what it takes? Am I that interested to like pursue it through the shitty parts, you know, and so, like through not making money, which is like kind of the main thing, right?
It's a big part of New York comedy.
Yeah. And like, do I want to like, how long do I want to keep a day job and try to do comedy too? Like, can I like really commit to it? Like, what does that look like for me? And so as I'm figuring all that out, I kind of realized that like one of the issues with the last relationship was that I wasn't really sure what I was doing with comedy. And therefore, like doing this thing that takes so much of my time, it'd be hard to say to like a potential partner of being like, hey, I'm doing all this and I'm not really sure what the reason is. You know what I mean?
Like, you didn't even know like why you were doing it.
Well, I knew I liked stand up when I was doing it at the time, but I'd said to everybody, like, I'm not really taking this seriously as a career. I just really like doing it. And when she's like, you know, if you're not doing this seriously for a career, like you're not doing anything else. Like you're all your spare time is like doing comedy
stuff. If it's going to be hobbyist aspirations, it should only get a hobbyist amount of your time.
Exactly. And so that is, and I was kind of like, oh, you know, I wasn't really in a great headspace either. So it was like comedy was my escape from like being by myself. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was another thing that like came about with that. And so I think, the reason why is that I didn't really have a direction for what was happening with me with comedy, and because I never really set long-term goals. And so now I'm trying to say, all right, I want to figure out what comedy looks like for me. It's like, this is how much of my time you can expect to get as a partner because of comedy.
Yeah.
And like, if you spend time with me at comedy, great. But that's a lot to ask of somebody. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I really want to get that sorted before I like really seek relationship. And this is also the first time in my life I've enjoyed being single. And so being a single in a new city, I didn't want to jump into something. And, you know, I wanted to like explore the options here, see what's different, and then, you know, see what I want going forward. So that's kind of the reason.
Mm-hmm. And with the last girlfriend, that was there like some future planning, like whether it be family or I know
yeah,
you said
and
a
that
move
was part and, of the issue is that like,
if you don't know what the future of this is, it's like, how can you plan what the family or anything like that would be? Another cat. I don't.
We had four cats, and that was insane.
You had four cats together?
Yeah. Cause she
how
had
many
two.
Did you each?
Yeah, I had these two, and she had two.
Okay, so y'all got to part with your own cats.
Oh God, it was three. And we moved in together 3 days before the pandemic started. So, it was her first time living with a partner, and so it was like we had the tension of that. And then the tension of these cats that just fucking hated each other. They were fighting all the time. And like, you just wake up and they'd just be like tufts of hair all over the apartment. It's like, oh, I know what happened last night. These guys are kicking the shit out of each other. And then the woman that lived above us worked in pet rescue. She was the landlord. And so she had like, at any given time, she had like 12 animals up there. Mm. And so that it was a bit of a madhouse to like be locked in together. So like, I'm sure that didn't help with like the strain of the relationship, but, the cats fucking hated each other. But
when you said if I got the timeline kind of right, 7-ish years ago, there's that big breakup, and then you got with this one like 4 years ago. So there's like maybe roughly 3 years in between where you're single ish.
I'd say like a year and a half,
okay,
to 2 years in between the two relationships where I was single.
And that's like kind of an angsty time of like going around dating, being single.
Yeah, it wasn't really, like not a lot of success in dating because I was really like not well put together. I don't know.
You weren't. Oh, do tell.
I think I was just like a bit underconfident. I also like, I grew out my beard and I had really long hair. I look crazy.
Okay.
I look like a crazy person. And
so San Francisco, you look like you were a native. You look like
I could have been a problem that wandered in from the street to do comedy, which is what you got in a lot of San Francisco open mics. And so
they still have that one at the radio station.
Oh, that place just closed.
Oh, did?
Yeah.
That felt like the place where if I was going to like have a random homeless person at the mic, it felt like it was there.
The guy smoked heroin on stage there one time.
Huh? Oh, my. What?
Yeah. Well, he was a homeless comic. He was actually kind of funny. But yeah, he did that. He sure did that at the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. He smoked heroin on stage. Zach Wiseman was
you,
his name.
You remember?
Oh, no. I mean... I was friendly with them, but he was like, I think he was one of those guys that like actually had like a decent education, a decent background, and like fell into like addiction and stuff like that. Okay. And, but he was, yeah, he would like sell art and stuff on the street and he was a mess. Yeah.
Right. And you were like kind of visually a mess at the time too, it seems like.
Yeah, not as big of a mess as him, but like I was still somewhat put together, but I wasn't super confident and I would say that like
you were as buff as back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, same. I mean, I was probably maybe a little heavier, but like not a lot.
Okay.
And I was still playing rugby, so I was like still like, you know, fit for that.
And funny, you're on stage.
Yeah, not as funny as I am now.
You weren't as funny. Okay. Well, yeah, that says a lot because I'm here right now with the really fucking funny.
Well, this was
can't stop telling everybody around town. Comedian Marty Cunney. How long? 13 minutes
comedy.
In.
Year one comedy. You yeah. know, it's. Not good for anybody, but it was also like, you know, I was just not in a great place mentally.
Okay.
And so I think I just wasn't like, I was never particularly good at dating before I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Now I was like, oh, I'm single in my late 20s, but I just didn't do a very good job of it. Okay. And so, you know, for example, taking a woman to podcasts on the second date. So, you know, thinking things like that were a good idea. So I just, you know, I don't know. I think part of comedy too, and I've mentioned this to people before, is that like it kind of helped me self-realize a lot. I felt more comfortable in my own skin because I was like, it was so important for me to be authentic on stage. Mm-hmm. And like me being authentic myself and people liking that kind of like gave me a lot more self-confidence as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's been kind of like a good feedback loop for me. You know, people that know me from comedy know me because I'm like generally wearing like loud outfits on stage and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I mean, that was not really like that. I do that off stage too. Like that's how I dress normally, but it wasn't like that before I started comedy. I think that I was, you know, this is a little self psychoanalysis, but I think I was, my personality type is that I generally am trying to be accepted by whatever group I'm being a part of. So
same.
You know, not unusual chameleon. For most people. Yeah. And so like, if I'm hanging out with rugby guys, I'm, you know, wearing whatever they're wearing. If I'm hanging out with like, you know, my theater friends, whatever they're wearing. But like in comedy, there's not like a uniform that people wear. There's not like a set. There's no one, except, you know, we had a joke that like jean jackets was huge in San Francisco in comedy for a minute. But like, besides stuff like that, like there's not like a mold to fit into in comedy. In fact, you shouldn't fit into a mold in comedy. That's kind of the whole point, right? And so I think that kind of like forced me to kind of forge my own identity a lot more. And mm-hmm. it's been good for me. So in that, I think once you have that and then you take that to the dating world, like that's a level of like, you know, self-confidence and self-actualization that people see that and they connect to it.
You know? I went through a phase of doing the jacket over a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Suit jacket over t-shirt on stage. Yeah.
I think I did.
And I also brought that off stage to my dates.
Oh man.
Still not sure how. I still think
it's not a terrible look. I don't know. I did that for a little bit too. I think I did. I do blazer with a Hawaiian under it, which I still think is
that's
okay.
That's very bold.
Yeah, I still think that's okay, but not to like a first date. That's for fucking sure. No. I still do tame down like what I wear to a first date.
Mm.
I'll still wear like a loud-ish shirt, but it's like more commonly loud versus like some of the stuff that I have, which is a little more, I don't know, different.
Okay.
Like I won't wear like the leopard print bowling shirt, but I'll wear like maybe like a slightly psychedelic Hawaiian shirt or something because that's a little more common these days.
Well, yeah, it shows like this guy's clearly got some kind of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Or somewhat. I don't know.
Something. It stood out to me when you said like this is the first time in your life. And I think that's why I was trying to do some of the timeline math because you're like, this is the first time I'm like comfortable being single. And right now, like I went through a breakup. It sounds like around the same time as you. For this recent one, so a couple years back, and this is the first time in my life I am uncomfortable. I hate being single. I don't like it. I'm craving connection more than I ever have before, and I was surprisingly really good at dating and meeting people and going out and having things, you know, but like, you know, I have not found the zen, or maybe I had it and I lost it. It's so it's interesting to hear you're like, no, now I'm good and ready.
I don't know. I mean, it's don't get me wrong. I'm still... If all things had gone to plan, I wouldn't be single. You know, like that's not, I'm not. Oh.
What you want?
I'm never single because I always have her. but yeah, my little fucking polycule with the other one back there.
I mean, like, what were you doing? What's some of that self-work that you were doing? I think you mentioned meditation.
Yeah, mostly just like meditation, journaling, because meditation. I had started therapy during the pandemic because, you know, who fucking didn't? But I realized was like, I have a real problem. I have a very short emotional memory. Mm. Whereas like, I don't remember what I was feeling like a year ago. You know, I don't remember how things felt, like what I was worried about. I don't remember like the mental state I was in.
Uh-huh.
And like, I can remember general, like, oh yeah, I remember this area of life. I was like generally depressed, but like, I can't remember specifics. And so started a journal and like, just kind of jot down, like, you know, for when I first started, it was like maybe twice a week. Now I've gone to like once a week, and it's mostly just about like making sure I understand here's what happened this week. And that's a big thing for me, because like sometimes the passage of time just feels like it just flies by. And so if I ever feel like I'm like, how the fuck did this month just go by? I'll take a look back at the journal and be like, oh yeah, look at all this stuff that happened, mm-hmm. you know? And that helps me a lot. But also like occasionally I'll just like, you know, if I'll go back and read like the last 3 months and just be like, man, look at this stuff that I was worried about and seemed like the worst thing in the world at the time. And now I'm here. And at this point in my life, I don't even remember that thing at all. You know, like it just kind of, it's a good reminder to me of like how impermanent a lot of our problems are and a lot of our mindset are and a lot of our, you know, our mental state is, and that, you know, basically everything's impermanent and that everything passes and that, you know, the next thing's coming and to also try to live in the moment, which is what the meditation and stuff is about, is the mindfulness aspect of it, of, you know, enjoying everything in the moment and not so worried about like the fact that I am, you know, not where I thought I'd be so many years ago, you know, and at this point in life, you know, at this, if you'd asked me where I was at 22, where I'd be at 35, it's like, oh yeah, house, kids, partner, blah, blah, blah. And it's, I don't have any of that, but like, it's easier for me not to be depressed about it. Cause it's like, well, I'm still enjoying the moment and I know these things didn't happen for a reason. And that, you know, had I been with any of those people, like it probably wouldn't be that good,
all right.
you know? So like to like, getting myself into that like accepting mindset and just thinking about going forward rather than, you know, still learning from mistakes of the past, but accepting that they happened because they had to that way. There's really no other option. There's no other way they could have happened.
Mm.
And so, you know, accepting where I am now. And so that's a big part of it, is just like the accepting the moment and experiencing the moment and then, you know, using that acceptance to like build towards a better future for myself.
Mm. But for now, it's like, nothing serious. Still, like, don't need anything serious yet.
Yeah, I mean, if I met somebody and it was like, oh my God, like, this is, you know, clearly, like, the kind of person that I would connect with and, you know, need, and we have a similar vision, mm-hmm. and we work really well together, and this person is understanding to, like, my needs, and I'm understanding to her needs, like, yeah, but...
isn't that how it always is? You know, I feel like that... I feel like, so like any serious relationship I've been in, it always, I met them in some sort of like unplanned, wasn't looking for anything serious fashion. It's like, no one's looking for, like I'm not really looking until I come across somebody and then I go, whoa, you're definitely it.
I would say, I don't know. I'd say my first relationship, I was very much like when I met her, we were friends for a little while before we started hooking up. Mm-hmm. And I was very much like, I like this person a lot. You know, and it was like, as soon as we started hooking up, it was like, okay, like this seems pretty legit, you know, like, and I wasn't sure. The only thing that was kind of like the hiccup for me was that, you know, we were graduating college and she was moving back to LA and I was staying in San Francisco. I was like, oh, you know, I can do long distance until we, you know, hopefully figure it out. And she ended up moving back to San Francisco for work. And so it worked out for me that way. But, and my second relationship, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't say I was like latching onto anything. I knew that I wanted to be with somebody that I connected well with. And me and her, we had a great connection. And so like, I wouldn't say it was entirely just like it came out of the blue. I was still searching for somebody more purposefully than I am now. So I would say like the mindset is different. And I think that because I'm, you know, projecting that that's what I'm advertising to other people. I think, you know, if anybody was looking for something serious, then they're probably not, you know, then it's like very clear. I'm being very clear. It's like, hey, we can, you know, see if we have a connection. But for the moment, the commitment's not there.
Okay. Yeah. Just properly setting expectations.
Yeah. And the phrase casually seeking something serious, you know, everyone says that. And it's like, yeah, I am casually seeking. If something serious comes up, great. But I'm not focused on it right now because I want to get my head straight on this goal first, because I'm kind of new to goal setting. Okay. So I'm trying to like focus on that now.
Huh. Surprising. And I feel like I'm getting this this more sentimental, emotionally intelligent version of Marty, who I previously, like when I first, did I reach out to you about the show or did you reach out to me?
I hit you up on Reddit.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. And my impression of you in a positive way was like, this guy fucks. Because I think the first clip I saw
The clips I put up are, I mean, obviously the ones that do best are the most outrageous ones. Right.
Well, and you had a very edgy, very controversial clip. I think the first joke I saw of yours where you acknowledged the female orgasm. It's, whoa, watch out.
Yeah. And really rubbed some people the wrong way.
And apparently a few the right.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, man. What was that? I'm trying to remember that one. Oh, yeah.
The one where like the taser.
Yeah. Because I've never. Did I post that one?
Well, I think then eventually, whenever I got to your
because I've never posted. Instagram, I don't think I've ever posted the full version of that.
Okay,
but I think, yeah, I've posted like the lead into it. But yeah, I mean, so much of my stuff is about sex.
Yeah,
right. And a lot of that was written when I was dating somebody, so it was like, you know, oh, but like now I have like sex stuff to talk about otherwise, and it's I am definitely like I tell people that as like. I am myself turned up to 11 on stage. Like okay. If I was like that all the time, I would be fucking insufferable, you know? and maybe not to everybody, but like to me, I would be, you know, I'm like not, I don't know. It's funny. Cause I always thought of myself as this, like super outgoing person. And one of my time, my ex was like, oh, like, she's like, yeah, but you know, I forget what she said, but it basically said like, oh yeah, you're kind of like more the silent type. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I kind of realized that like, yeah, it's kind of like once you get me going, once you get me wound up, mm-hmm. sure, but I'm not like, you got to wind me up.
But otherwise you're hanging around like with the cats. When I started watching the Instagram story regularly, I started picking up like, this dude's home a lot with his cats.
Well, I work from home. Yeah. So like, you know, I work from home out all evenings. So like, I am just, you know, here by myself, yeah. just fucking with the cats all day.
But like, I think like, you know, like also like when the first time you come to do the Naked Show and like your comfort, like being in a, what our green room is an orgy storage room where there's like an upside down like Liberator S lounger just like
yeah there's in the back. Like every like piece of furniture in there I'm like yeah okay this is all right
but like between
bunch of mattresses
Bay Area the buff thing that fucking mustache and the deep voice. I was like, this dude, like, I don't know. I had this like perception. He was like, I don't know. I feel like he's some sort of like kinky sex party weirdo in San Francisco. Like I would be able to buy that.
Yeah. I've definitely like, yeah, that assumption has been made about me a lot.
Have the women who made that assumption been disappointed?
No. I mean, cause like, I don't think anybody like, I don't know. I don't,
okay.
She won't. Ka, get over here.
So catty.
Yeah, she's a little fussy. But I don't know. I think I don't think anybody assumes anything out of me right away. But like, I do tend to attract, at least in the last couple of years, definitely people on the more kinky side, which has been great. It's been a fun thing to explore. Actually, you know, I wouldn't say explore. I mean, my first girlfriend was very much so, and like, kind of brought me out of like, I wouldn't say I was in a shell, mm-hmm. but sex was pretty normal for me. All through college up until with her, we kind of started to get more into like, you know, roles together. And so, and that started kind of turning the dial up, you know what I mean? And my last girlfriend was also, yes, that, but like not so much.
Okay. You know?
So the first girlfriend, I'll be specific since it's yeah. very, she was very sub, right? She really wanted the to be dominated. And I was like, you know, like in the vein of like, oh, always be respectful of the woman. Like it was kind of hard to get out of that mindset, but it was like, eventually it was just kind of like, oh, like making someone else feel good through doing this is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, it's a fun thing to do in the bedroom. It's like, if the other person likes it, I'm into it. And because I was doing that for so long, it's like, oh, this is now my thing too, I guess. And so it kind of turned into my thing. Like the first time she asked me to like spit in her face, I was like,
What?
Yeah, I was like, okay. Huh? But then, like, I remember one time she like showed me a porn. It was like a pretty extreme, like, domination porn. And I was just like, oh, she really wants it. Like, and she's like, and I think she was saying, in my mind, I was like, oh, she wants something along this vein. She's like, no, she wants this.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, okay. And so we did, it was just kind of like, you know, started, and that wasn't like stuff that I watched a lot. And so it was kind of like, oh, like,
it was or it wasn't?
Wasn't.
Right.
So it was kind of like, oh, so like started learning to like push limits and see what she likes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ended up, you know, buying more toys, experimenting with, you know, different stuff. And, yeah, I mean, it, so like it just turned into like, first, like, so first long-term girlfriend was, you know, pretty extreme sub.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was kind of hard thing was like, once I was single is like kind of turning off the, like, that's the base level.
Yeah. Like waiting to be like, I got to wait for someone else to turn that back on.
Yeah. And so like one or two hookups, it was just kind of like, oh, right. Shit. Don't do that to people, you know, like, you know, and like, you know, ask everything first, blah, blah, blah. That was kind of a hard one to unlearn, you know, but, you know, I think now I'm a little more in a better place to, like, you know, discuss that stuff up front. I love a better system about it.
It gets annoying to me because there's some people who they want that, or they think they want like something kinky or subby like that, but they don't want to have the conversation up front because they're like, well, it's going to turn me off. I was like, well, then we're not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to choke you out if we can't talk about it when our clothes are fucking on.
I just wish, you know, obviously there's so many like sites and like, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, check all the boxes of the stuff you like. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that makes it easy. But like a lot of people just aren't comfortable doing that. And I'm like, well, then don't. You have to broach the subject because, right, like, I'm not just going to throw a fucking laundry list of stuff at you so you can check boxes. It's like, that's a bit I've been trying to work on, is that like everybody says, like, this is like such an sexually adventurous society we're in now, but like sometimes you'll ask people what they're into and they're like, I don't know, everything. And you're like, I bet that's not
and then,
fucking
yeah, and then
true.
You say three things and they go like, well, oh, not that, and not that. Well, like, not okay, then big fucking answer the question the first time.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, like I'm trying to do the right thing here and like you're not helping. Like just, and I understand like it, I don't expect everyone to be like, oh, I know everything I'm perfectly into, but just don't say everything.
Yeah.
You know,
anytime they say everything but blood, shit, and piss,
like yeah, that's pretty base level.
Right.
Like, I had one girl tell me, like, just do whatever you want, and then I'll tell you afterwards if I liked it. It's like, absolutely not. What are you talking about? I'm not playing sexual minesweeper with you. It's just like people. And it's just like, you're not giving me a picture of what's going on up here. Cause like when people say everything, sometimes they mean like, I like a little like light choking, and I'm like, that's great, but just say that. And that leads. And if you just say one thing, it leads me into like the rest of the conversation. It sets me a base level that I can then explore with you. And then it's like, oh, well, if you like this, do you also like this? Mm. You know, it's like fucking, it's like a Amazon recommendation, you know, like I'm getting, I have all this stuff in my head that I know that most people that have liked this also like this. Do you? If not, then I won't do it. Just I need, but like that, at least give me the leading. You can't point an algorithm without a little bit of information, right? And so if you say everything, you're going to get Alibaba. You're not going to get Amazon.
and there's like, because there's a serviceable element to it. Because I'm like more of a service top. I will do that if I know you're into that, and you know, then cool. That's fun. It's exciting to me because like it's hot for me to give something hot to you.
Yeah. The point is that we're both having fun.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not, but like, and so if it's not that, then it's like, I don't get what we're doing here.
Okay.
You know, it's like, I will do something for somebody if they like it, if it's not necessarily my thing. Mm. But I don't expect people to be doing something that I like if it's not their thing, I guess.
What was like a favorite kinky activity you enjoyed doing?
Oh, choking. Yeah.
Joking. You're like, this is the best one.
Yeah, 100%. It is. I mean,
do you like being choked?
No. I remember the first time somebody did try to choke me, it was like, hey, what the fuck? Yeah. She tried to choke me with my chain, too. Oh. I was like, hey, fuck. Like, you can't use that against me. I'm not like, pain, not for me. Like, it, because I think it just makes me like angry, you know, it activates fight or flight, not like fight or fuck, you know? And it's like, you know, I'm just, now it just makes me want to do more shit to you. It's like, we don't want this feedback loop, you know, we don't want to have like a fight. I mean, I guess if somebody like, but if it's their thing to like, as like a fight back, like if that's like, you know, yeah, that's fine. But like, it's not for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. And again, it's one thing. It's like, oh, if if it's really good for you, sure, I'll go along. Like, I'm not worried about anybody hurting me. Like, mm-hmm. unless I'm, I don't think I've ever fucked a bodybuilder, and that's the only person I'd be like concerned about, you know?
I don't know. I've gotten some spanks where I was like, I didn't think this was going to hurt.
I don't think I have, but
someone spanked me with a Bible once. I was like, that's just fucking hard.
That's the wrath of God right there.
Yeah, it really fucking was, man.
New Testament. Yeah,
it was a soft cover. I thought I was safe.
Oh yeah, because that like it's unexpected. Yeah, if they hit the right angle. Yeah,
yeah.
It was, anything's a tool.
Anything can be a tool. It's that world. I try to play in, but you know, like I said, I just do things because that's, I guess, what they want. Anyone ever ask you to do something that was just far too extreme for you?
Not really. I don't think I've been anyone that crazy. I don't really like anything around my ass, and a lot of people want to do that. And I'm like, if you were like really into it, sure, but like, it's not for me. It's for you.
Yeah,
you know. I would have trusted that before I got a bidet either.
Oh.
I don't think the cleanliness was up to par before the bidet.
I'm one of those
assholes that just does not clean.
Oh, wow.
And bidet fine. Yeah. But like before that, it was just kind of like, it never felt like I was fully done wiping, you know? And so it was just like, you know, you're down there at your own peril. You know,
I like to think about the guy who like was super like anti anyone touching his ass, gets the bidet and goes, I see, I get it. I see the point.
Yeah.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I don't feel that. I don't know. Not for me. Don't really have anything against it. It's just not like in the realm of sexual pleasure, it's not in there.
Okay.
So
you're also you're a millennial from the Bay Area. Are you part of the poly tribe?
It depends on the person, I would say. My first relationship, part of the reason, not the whole reason, but like the road to the end of that relationship was fraught with non-monogamy. And so she, I won't get too into it because I don't want to like talk about her too much.
Okay.
But basically like she had expressed that she would like to see me with other women, right? And that's how it started. And I was like, awesome. Of course, I was terrible at meeting other women, so it didn't happen much. I mean, I dated a bi woman for 6 years, never had a three-way. Like, that's how bad I am.
Wow.
Was with women. So, like, to give you that idea. If it was me, if it was this Marty back this then, Marty. It would have been a different story.
This Marty can make it.
Yeah, but that back then, I was just kind of like, it was also just kind of like, I don't want to deal with this many people, you know? And we were both also like so busy dating each other. It was hard to like even think about it.
Sure, sure.
And so,
but she had a little cuck queen.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But like, because there was like, we were just less familiar with like, you know, like all the roles. And like, I think what she pictured was different than what I pictured. And I don't know. It got confusing. And so like, basically I think we just weren't on the same page. Right.
Mm.
And so we get like frustrated sometimes. And then like at one point I'm like, we got into like an argument about it. And she's like, you think I don't want to fuck other people? And I'm like, well, I guess, okay, you can, if I'm doing this, but it was more like it was kind of like, oh, did I get like bait and switched into this? It wasn't my idea. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, and then that happens. And then
do you think you would have been open if like her initial pitch was just opening up?
Probably not, because like at the time I was pretty comfortable in the relationship. We had a good sex life. I was like, well, I don't need to add to this. Like I've got enough going on.
Yeah. We got all the choking we need right here at home.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. What are we going out and shopping around for? Like we're having a good time.
Baby, I don't need any other neck but yours.
I really didn't. She could, you know, anyways, But and then it turned into like, I think knowing the terms now, she was picturing polyamory. I was picturing ethical non-monogamy.
Sure.
And so she started like basically like looking for other relationships. And I was like, she's hanging out with these guys a lot. And then it was like, and then it got to the point that I was like, she was hanging out like, and it felt like, it got to like the emotional cheating level of like, not everything's being communicated to here. I like got too drunk one night and then like woke up to her. Like we went to bed together. She had left in the middle of the morning to go to his place. And I'm like, and this is fucked up. And she was like, and she like just made it sound like it was not a big deal. And like, I was like blowing it up. And I was like, no, this is like, I'm upset, you know? And I think she just didn't really care at that point. And then I think, but you know, the actual end of the relationship was not because of that. It was because she decided that she didn't want, you know, kids, didn't want a family.
Okay.
And that was, you know, the stated end of the relationship. But I know that it had a lot to do with that, like her going out and exploring and kind of seeing like this isn't the life I want. And like, you know, seeing, and I was like, well, and at the end of the day, good. Because if she didn't want a family and if having kids wasn't right for her, then she shouldn't have. And I, you know, I'm glad that she saw that. I just, that experience coming out of that was not great. And so it's kind of like, in my mind, it's kind of like, you know, and now I know that this, you know, if I was to have that kind of relationship with someone, the communication would be a lot better for me mm-hmm. around it. But there still is a little bit of like a, you know, lingering, fuck, you know, like this is how it went for me last time. I'd be an idiot to do it again.
But it's also mature of you to recognize like that wasn't really why.
Sure.
Because like the outside world, they see a non-monogamous relationship break up and they go like, see, it doesn't work, as opposed to all the monogamous relationships that break up and they find all the other reasons.
No, I mean, I'm sure it is possible. It is reasonable. It's happened plenty, you know, this is a lot of people just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen if it's for me. And again, it's really about the partner. I don't describe myself as polyamorous. I don't describe myself as ENM and like dating apps and stuff like that. Cause to me, it's like to go in like that is like, well, then you're kind of saying like, I just feel like nobody is really approaching. If you're going into approach a relationship by saying like I'm polyamorous or I'm ENM, to me, it's like, well, that's like, you're going into another person with probably two different definitions of what's going to happen, you know? And it's like to just assign one word to it and like say, this is right at the gate. Where I say this, the joke I made to a friend recently was that like, I feel as like everybody wants to write a resume, not a cover letter anymore for dating, right? Like everybody like, and you know, fucking in the kink world, in the polyamorous world, it's just acronym after acronym, after fucking word after word that like we're all supposed to have read the same Dan Savage article. And it's like, how, like, you know, I'd much rather just use, you know, I'd rather have this conversation rather than have us like throw a word at each other and hope it means the same thing.
Everybody wants to just avoid conversations because it's uncomfortable. Everybody wants to avoid conflict. God forbid, like I say something and then you also don't exactly want that thing. And now we'd have to discuss it, and nobody wants to do that. They just want to say the thing and be like, and that means the same thing to you. It's like, so if you know, I'll ask people like, what is non-monogamy, you know, what's your non-monogamy look like?
And that comes from me again, my experience of like a relationship that went south being involved with people with two different definitions of what it meant, and so or two different expectations of what it meant. And so it just kind of, you know, in my mind, it's like, I don't want to label that. I don't, and it's not like, oh, I'm not into labels. It's like, yeah, you label it at some point, right, but like figure it out first and then label it. I mean, and part of it's me just being like a little bit lazy about it too, of just like, I don't want to like fill out this fucking questionnaire.
No, but it sounds like it's not like what you need to do like right now at this point in your dating journey.
And again, it's not like something I'm dead set on. So it's like, I don't feel like I have to indicate it to somebody
right
at the gate as like, oh, this is a deal breaker to you, you know, because it's not. It's not a hard non-negotiable for me. So,
how do you approach being like a single dude, a solo guy out there in the dating world who's not quote unquote looking for something serious? How are you communicating this stuff up front? What sort of pitfalls are you running into?
Not too many pitfalls really. I think nothing in my, I would say that like if the app, I mostly meet people on apps. I meet people in person very rarely. I mean, what am I not using?
I don't know.
You probably know more than I do, but the regulars, Hinge, Field, Tinder, Bumble, blah, blah, blah. And then I started throwing myself out there with 3Fun just to see what's going on.
3Fun?
It's like a three-way app.
Okay.
And then I threw myself up on like FetLife and stuff, but that's, I don't really expect to meet anybody on those, but it's just kind of like a, you know, have a profile rather than not. It's free. Fuck it. You know? But mostly just that stuff.
Do you really cycle through all those different apps? Like,
no, I'll do phases.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if my plate is full, then I'll just kind of like tone down most entirely. But if, I don't know, if I'm like, you know, feeling especially like, I gotta get out there. I'll do all at once, you know, cause it's not like I'm like micro reviewing every profile. It's a lot of just,
okay,
you know, so, but as far as like how I'm like, if the app offers the opportunity, it's like, I think
Tinder's got that new thing where it's like long term, open the short term.
Exactly. Open the long. It's like short term, open the long is mostly what I'm saying. Cause I'm not mostly doing one night stands. Cause like, that's not really, I'm not really any good at it.
Okay.
Mostly just cause like, I feel like I enjoy being with people that I can like talk to first and then do the sex thing.
I also like to like learn how your body works. So like on the subsequent dates I can do better.
Yeah.
It's like, I probably will not do my best work the first time.
Yeah, same. And so it's just kind of like, you know, I don't want it to me, like if I'm going to invest an amount of time in it, I want to like, you know, to be worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And so, so that's what I'm kind of, if the app has the option, but otherwise I do try to say like, you know, especially if somebody seems like they're looking for something more serious, I'll just kind of be like, hey, just an FYI, you know, I just moved here. I'm, you know, figuring my life out a bit, getting my feet under me, not looking for anything serious right now. You know, if we really click, you know, open to the conversation, but for the moment, just kind of keeping things casual, if that's okay with you. And like, and not really a one night stand guy, but also not like not looking for commitment at the moment. Mm-hmm. Pretty much just trying to be upfront about that. And I've had very few people tell me, no, mm-hmm. I don't want to go date with you because of after that. Cause I think, you know, because nothing in my profile indicates I'm looking for anything specific, I don't think anyone's surprised by that. Okay. Especially since we're all on fucking dating apps. You know, it's like, well, if you're on a dating app, you know, it doesn't mean you're looking for something serious, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, not that it doesn't mean you're not, but unless you say it, you know, I feel like the absence is more indicative than including something, right. You know?
Do you ever have to like kind of be mindful about like when you're opening an app to be like, am I opening this because I want to try to like make a new connection, or am I just feeling lonely?
I would say my issue is more, I open apps because I'm compulsively on my phone and it's just one more app to open mm-hmm. at a certain point.
Any wild, besides fucking almost a naked comedy show second day, any wild, early date stories?
I mean, lately? I did tell you, a girl did, she was like moving soon. So we knew this was a short-term thing, but we did do the rope tying, like the Shibari class at Hacienda.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And like the 101 as a first date.
that kind of is, if you both have a mutual interest and are spicy, that's like, that's a good first date.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
It's not nude, right?
It was like, you know, clearly we knew like what was going to happen after, but it was still kind of like a fun thing for both of us to do. Yeah. So that was, I would say, like the spiciest first date. I would say that.
You get an opportunity to like test having hands on the bod. Did you both tie each other up or just one way?
Yeah.
So you both get to have an opportunity like in a like consensual and like low stakes way, test what's it feel like when I have my hands on his body? You know, what's it like when his hands are on my body? Like, is there a spark and charge? Because at the end of the class, if there's no charge, if there's no spark.
Yeah, if you got nothing, then
you're like, well,
we really got nothing.
We got nothing, but we both learned a new skill.
Yeah. Now I can tie people up.
Yeah. Now we'll take that to the next date or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I, that was fun. And she was cool. And it was kind of funny though. Like, cause she like, we were like, all right, let's meet an hour beforehand. So we're going to have a conversation before this. But then she was late and then we had to like walk over. So really got like half an hour of conversation before we started like tying each other up. I was like, all right, you know, and the walk over, I guess.
Yeah. But
it was, I mean, we had like, you know, you'd chatted on the phone before, but it's different. You want to meet in person.
Oh, you did do a phone?
No. I mean, like text.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't like the phone since COVID. I feel like a lot of people want to do like a
video a phone date. Call.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of that.
But girl, you know, the woman would be like, oh, I don't want to waste my time. I'd be like, we'll pick a coffee shop near your place. You won't waste, you're going to, because if it's not, if the video chat's not fun, That's how's that not a waste of your time either? Why? Because you have to get done up. Don't get done up. I'll save you the travel time. Wear what you want, but like, let's
especially like this is dating in your 30s. We don't have to fucking like. Don't put on your best face. Put on your normal face.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm going to be seeing more of if we see each other a lot, and what I prefer to see more of, honestly. But I mean, I know everyone wants to make a great first impression, but it's like I want to give you my best, most realistic first impression. So it's like, and not like I'm going to show up looking slovenly, you know, but I'm not putting on a like a dress shirt to go get coffee.
Yeah.
You know, like we're just going to wear a t-shirt, be casual.
But you also
know?
Don't need to optimize all your time to make sure like when you go out the door, like this is definitely going to be, it's like, I want to make sure we have spark. All right. We'll find out. I promise.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you can leave in 30 minutes. If you don't like it, just leave.
If you're not feeling it,
you don't have to stay for 3 hours on a date. You know, on the first hour, you're not into.
Yeah, that's I'm a big proponent of like now doing like lunch or coffee first date for somebody that you aren't like sure about. Because some people, it's like you have a rapport on the text and it's like, oh, okay, like I have a pretty good feeling this is worth an evening.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're not sure, just keep it casual for the first one. But, you know, not everyone likes to do that. It's preferences. But if you can get them into it, it's great.
I'm a big proponent of don't be afraid to end a date when you know for sure, like, not into it. Like, you don't have to wait till you're done with the date. Yeah. You don't have to order another drink. You can just be like, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I for me, by the time we're on the, if we're on a date, it means I've already got an inkling that, like, we'll get along in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if it's not a sexual capacity, that's fine too, because now I'm new in the city. I am looking to make friends, you know? And it's like, oh, even if we don't, if we're not trying to fuck, like, it's still like we had similar enough interests that, like, hopefully we can still hang out sometime. Yeah. And, like, you know, now I have a bringer for a comedy show.
I swear to God, if you do a single fucking bringer, I will choke you out in a non-sexual way.
It's all just people I've been on dates with.
I had to fucking talk Claire, because, you know, Claire's newer, but like I finally convinced her, like, no more bringers. We're like, you can do one a year if you want a tape.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I had to like really fucking bully her out of that
because
shit.
It was like, oh, let's do that just to like try to get in with a club. But I don't understand like doing multiple industry room.
Well, some people, like, they're just addicted to, if that's the only way they get like anything that looks like meaningful stage time.
Yeah.
And then they get a little, she was doing like a lot of them. And I had to be doing intervention.
You
like,
gotta burn a lot of bridges. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. I said, your friends are going to come to your good shows later because they came to watch you be on a lineup of 15 people too many times.
Yeah.
You know, keep bringing them to the Naked Show. At least I pay you extra for that.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
Speaking of which, before we go, you know, how do you find the Naked Comedy Show to be?
Great. I sing its praises to everybody. I mean, it is, you do book it well. The lineups are great. And the room is like a fantastic comedy room, like layout wise. It's really the ideal low ceiling, wide, short room. And then the audiences are fun. I mean, yeah, the first time I did it, I think we talked about like the audience was a little more tight than we would have liked. And
do you remember what month?
It was August.
They were kind of clothed.
Yeah, that I think when you said that, I was like, oh, like I didn't have a frame of reference. And then I did the second one, and like, you know, everyone was fucking naked, and they were way more fun. I was like, okay, I see what he means. Like, it is like I would say that the show probably, and you probably know better than me, but it seems like it probably attracts people that maybe necessarily aren't comedy fans, but they're looking for a fun, interesting thing to do as a night out. And especially something that's, you know, been written about and done as much as your show has, it like, oh, this presents itself as like, this is a cool Brooklyn thing to do, right? It's comedy for New York, but it's Brooklyn and weird, so it's naked.
Yeah.
And so it's
in like, an orgy basement.
In an orgy basement, like, this is the weirdest thing, this is the craziest thing we could do tonight. And so they go there, and it's like, yeah, they're maybe not necessarily comedy fans, and they aren't like raucous laughters, but they're having a good time. I think that's what I remember from the first show, is that like everyone seemed to have a good time. They just weren't like, what you want as a comic is like this crazy, energetic, fun crowd.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, that, but I still had a great time, you know, and then, you know, the second one was tons of fun.
And there was no, like, how'd you feel like going up naked?
Oh, going up naked? I'm pretty comfortable with my body. So I was like, I think I had like a little bit of nerves the first time, but like once I got into like that swing on stage, I remember the only time that, you know, I do like, I can like watch the tape back and just be like, I can like clearly hear when I like kind of fumble over something because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm naked, you know, like that'll happen in my brain. But I think the only time that really kind of like the first time was when a joke hit so well that like I kind of felt a tingle down there. It's like, oh no, 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 no.
You could be our first, you could have been our first boner on stage.
So I did the, when we did the Skankfest Naked Roast.
Oh, you did that?
I did that.
Oh, nice.
In September, me and the other guy both took a blue chew before we went on stage. And it didn't do anything.
Does nothing.
And you I was like, well, aroused. You still, because a blue chew, like that kind of, you still have to have some kind of stimulation. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you do like a Viagra, that'll typically just do it. You know?
I mean, that's it's the same.
That's why I understood the difference is that like no, one there's no such thing as stimulation.
There's no such thing as like a take pill boner. You have to just get, you don't necessarily need stimulation. You just have to be in a state of arousal.
Sure. And
stimulation can do that, but you have to get there.
Yeah. I was not aroused.
Yeah. all it does is make it easier to get boner. But it'll also keep it there like longer.
So
the way to do it is like, you'd have to go to the bathroom, collect yourself, get the boner, get aroused, let yourself be aroused, then go on stage. The like boner will probably stay longer even after you lose some mental arousal.
And after watching like, you know, all the other judges go up naked and like Zach Amico do his whole like crazy entrance, I'm like,
would he staple something to his nutsack?
He did not at that point. He did later. But like he did like a whole like Bray Wyatt entrance as like a tribute to Bray Wyatt, who had just passed away as a wrestler.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, this is maybe the least arousing thing I could think of. And so I'm like, I'm out. I'm good. It's fine to not have a boner for this. It'll still be funny.
The naked rose battles are fucking brutal though, because like, man, like I've done twice. Undefeated, no big deal. But the first one, we both basically lost. I just lost less.
Yeah.
You know?
Ours was good because the guy I was against was, I knew him actually from Sacramento. Okay. He's a good roast battle guy. And so we had a good rapport. And he also doesn't have any feet. So, you know, the jokes wrote themselves.
Does he not have legs or he just doesn't have feet?
It's like cut off like below like the tibia, I guess.
So did he have like,
he's got like the Blade Runner lens.
Oh, he's got those.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, but he took them off on stage and was standing on the stumps. And it was so fucking funny. And I told them, like, I was like, when he took those off, I said he looked like the fucking sea captain from Family Guy. And I was like, I started singing the Lollipop Guild song and like kicking my legs. And then he started kicking the stumps and I fucking died laughing. I think my best joke from that was, there's two. I said Logan's wife divorced him and now she's dating a black guy because she's used to being with 3/5 of a man.
Fuck, man.
And the other one was because he lost the legs, he got run over by a train, which is hilarious because he was in the military and then he like, but he didn't lose him in like battle or
that's
anything.
Weird. I thought he was a woman in 1892. Yeah.
But he, so I said he lost him in a train. That was far from the last train he had run on him. Okay. So,
well, I'm glad that you're enjoying adding nudity to some comedy. You've been a great
it's
addition
my fucking
to
brand
the show.
Now. Well, because it's funny because it's like the first thing that people see when they look at my Instagram. It's like, wait a second, is he naked?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm trying to find. I got to get more.
Non-naked clips.
Non-naked clip. Well, the problem is I got like these non-naked spots. Normal spots. Spot. I have spots.
Yeah, when you say
the spot is supposed spots. To be the norm.
Yeah, right.
The naked spot's the thing that needs the qualifier.
Yeah.
But like I get spots, but then they're not very tapeable rooms or shows.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I do a show on Wednesday and like I had a super fun time, but it was 5 people.
Yeah.
But like they were a great 5 people, but you're not making a clip from that.
Yeah.
So I don't have enough of the normal clips that I'm like, people need to know that I do clothed comedy. You got that email I sent where I was like, hey guys,
please.
I was like, just in case you don't know me that well, like I do comedy with my pants on like most of the time. So just like, just let that be known.
Yeah.
So I would love to do those shows as well.
Yeah.
Marty, man, thanks for making time to chat and
this was fun.
Sharing about yourself.
So deep.
We like to get there. I like to think that this is a podcast where I like to take really funny comedians and let them be not funny at all.
I killed it then.
Great. No, you did awesome. Dude, where can go on top? Are you doing March or February?
February.
You don't. So Marty February will be 23rd. At the yes, the February 23rd Naked Comedy Show.
Second date.
the 10 o'clock show.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So come out see Marty on February 23rd. But you also run some shows here in New York City yourself.
Yep.
You've got
Thursday night
media.
At Talon Bar in Bushwick, and Friday nights at QED in Astoria, 11 p.m. It's a late show. So if you want to grab a drink on your way home or on your way out, it's okay. A good show. Marty Cunny Comedy on all social media, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. I got Reddit, a lot of Reddit going on too now. People like Reddit, posting on Reddit. People really fucking engage on there. So,
as well as Naked Reels.
Yeah, I did post the Naked Reels one. It was pretty funny how many people in the comments were like, hey, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's always the thing. It's like, is this dude, like in TikTok, we'll be like, is this dude naked? And I'd be like, oh, I gotta.
No, I'm fucking, yeah, this is a bodysuit.
I wear a black bar.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Well, Marty, man, thanks for chatting with us. And why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody?
All right, thanks, everyone. Man, whore it up. Have fun out there.
The best place to share your thoughts on this week's show is in the episode discussion channel in the Champagne Room. The Champagne Room is our super free, super fun, super sex positive Discord server where you can discuss this week's episode, share some slutty sex stories, or nerd out about gaming and music. We even have an entire channel just about parenting. I'm not in that one very often, but there seems to be a nice little community in there. Join the conversations today. Make new internet friends now at manwhorepod.com/discord or click the link in the schnotes. You can also email me your comments, your questions, your criticisms, your titty pictures to manwhorepod@gmail.com. Los Angeles, by the way, LA whores, if you're still listening, I got a couple shows while I'm in town tonight. January 31st, I'm at Knucklehead at 9 p.m. And then Friday, I'm going to be doing a backyard show. And if you go to manwhorepod.com, you'll see a link to where you can get more information. Last but certainly not least, the best place you can support the Man Whore Podcast is on Patreon. It's the best way to make sure that Billy's bills are still paid so I can keep doing what you love to listen to. And today, as you're hearing this, January 31st, today is the final day that you can sign up for a 7-day free trial. Yes, you can try my 300+ bonus episodes for free. You can check out my behind-the-scenes content for free. You can enjoy those Discord benefits for free if you sign up today, January 31st, at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. Seriously, it's just you only got $2. If you listen to this whole thing and you liked it, you don't think I should get $2? The only reason you should think that I don't deserve $2 is if you think I deserve $5. Otherwise, cough it up. Don't make me come back around here again for this, okay? Okay. As my Uncle Joe Vito probably told someone while holding a baseball bat. I don't know. I don't know the story. I'm told he's just a taxi driver, but who knows? That could have been code as a kid. But seriously, join the Patreon, okay? Come on, $2. It's $2. You think I deserve more? You don't got it now? It's okay. You can get me later. Get the $2 now. Patreon. Schnotes. Independent content creators. Stay slutty.